look at that. I pushed all the buttons just right, and here we are on Stories and Stuff, me and my favorite imaginary friend, Emily Friend, here in Minneapolis. And you reach Stories and Stuff. Sometimes stories, sometimes stuff. Imagine, this thing's been going on since Christmas of 94. Do you have an imaginary friend? Well, ever since I was about 3 years old, Emily Friend is one of my earliest ones, and she's still around. One day, back in the early 90s, when I went to the playgroup in Orono to play, I would come there every Tuesday morning, actually. The owner of the house would come and pick me up and drive me over there, sometimes with other kids in the car that would want to start playing with my toys before we even got there and try to unpack everything. And anyway, I walked into the playgroup and said, "I brought my imaginary friend with me." And Sherilyn got so excited. One of the kids there named Sherilyn, she was jumping up and down and started yelling, "Joy Bubbles, you have an imaginary friend. Oh, wow, you got to hear about Bumpo. Mommy, Mommy, Mommy," she hollered louder and louder as she got closer to Mommy. Each Mommy got louder. "Let's go in and tell Joy Bubbles about Bumpo. B-U-M-P-O, 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 Bumpo was his name, oh." She just talked so fast when she gets excited like that. She was kind of skipping and jumping into the room, dragging Mommy along so that they could both tell me the story. Well, Sherilyn's mother, also known as Roberta, there was one time when she wasn't Sherilyn's mother, before she even knew Sherilyn, and that's when she lived in California. And so Roberta decided to go and visit kids in a children's hospital there. And she was in the corridor and saw a room with me in it, Sherilyn said. "Yeah, with you. I saw a little kid alone in such a great big bed. And you looked so sad in there. And I thought, well, instead of just, you know, going to room and just spending a couple minutes, I think I'm just going to spend the whole afternoon with you." And so she went down to the playroom and got a big stack of books. And she would just read all, you know, maybe all of them all afternoon, read and talk or play or whatever. And, when Roberta got back to Sherilyn's room, Sherilyn said, this one, and reached for the right book. She knew what she wanted. "Yeah, you did, Sherilyn, you did. I know just the right book." And she grabbed one out of the stack. This one, she said. And it was a book called Madeline, about 12 little girls. All covered with vines. Let's see, 12 little girls in two straight lines, and the littlest one was Madeline, and something, the place in Paris all covered with vines. Well, if Sherilyn was here, she could do it really good. She knows the whole story. Maybe you know it too, Madeline. But that's the one she wanted read. And then she picked the next one too. You know which one that was? Again. It was the same one. Fourth, sixth time. Same one. Like a motto says, over and over is better and better. Well, Sherilyn's mother knew just what to do. She hid the book way down in the underneath and said, "Now, which one do you want to read, this one or this one?" And gave a choice of two different books. Sherilyn had watched her put that book away and knew just where to reach for it. "This one." And got the same Madeline again. Yeah, and it went something like, in a house in Paris all covered with vines, there was 12 little girls in two straight lines, and the littlest one was Madeline. Maybe that's how it goes. Well, she ended up, Roberta did, reading that book maybe 14, maybe 15 times. She doesn't know which. But during that time, the strangest thought came to her. "I'd sure love to be this little girl's mother." And she went out and found out that indeed Sherilyn was now a ward of the state, basically, and was adoptable, of all things. She was in the hospital with HIV positive and failure to thrive and head lice and skin problems and some malnutrition and everything. Her parents were having a lot of hard times and just couldn't really take care of a little girl like she deserved and needed. And the mother wrote a long, long letter, and she loved Sherilyn enough to give her up for adoption. They were really thinking they were going to really make, do a lot for her when she was first born and everything. They named her Sherilyn because they said that's Cher's legal name and she'd be rich like Cher, and they bought a lottery ticket on that day and just knew they were going to win millions, except they didn't. They had a lot of dreams, but they couldn't keep away from the drugs and other things and were in and out of jail and different things, but they sure loved Sherilyn. Well, Roberta got this intuition and about adopting Sherilyn and decided to. People warned her, she might not live too long and it'll be just a heartache and all this stuff, and 'cause she was really had some problems at the time. But Roberta said, well, if I have her home and happy and playing and in a good place, even for one day, even for a week, even for a month, that'll be good. She'll know how it feels to be continuously loved and have a good parent. And sure enough, like maybe 9 or 10 months later, and a lot of paperwork and in court and all that kind of stuff in front of a judge and signing papers, suddenly Sherilyn had a new mommy. But strangely enough, once she was adopted, Sherilyn didn't call this person mommy or mom or anything like that. She called her Mrs. because she had had a mommy before. But that was all right. Roberta knew that, as long as they loved each other, it didn't really matter what she was called. And sometimes she would have Roberta read her some of the letters, some of the parts of the letter that mommy had wrote about when you love somebody, you love them enough to give them up. And Sherilyn's mother would talk about, I chose you. There was lots and lots of little boys and girls around there, and I chose you. Some people have a birth in what's called a womb inside you, and you were born in my heart. And they would talk about these things. And one morning, they were on the way to a parenting meeting, and it was a long, long way to the meeting where Sherilyn's mother would hear about taking care of kids and all that kind of stuff, and Sherilyn would go in another room where there was several play ladies that just had all kinds of fun things to play with, and it would just be really neat. She loved to go to that place. But it was a long drive, so naturally she had to, Mommy, Mrs., I got to make a great big pee-pee. And so she stopped and went to the potty and drove some more. But pretty soon, Sherilyn started crying really, really, really hard, like shaking. Her whole self was crying. If she hadn't have been buckled in, she would have probably gone right out through the roof of the car, Roberta said, because she was crying so hard and could barely get out what had happened. It ended up that Sherilyn said she had lost Bumpo. Mrs. Bumpo is gone. He's gone forever. He's lost. He's gone. Well, honey, where did you lose him? At the potty back there, and he's gone. Well, let's go back there and then where you lost him and see if we can find him. When you lose something, it's always good to go back to try to find them there. And so they went back. I think she said it was about 12 miles back or something like that. And at the potty when they got there, Sherilyn was so excited she could hardly wait to get out of the van. Mrs., there he is. He's at that pole there. He's scared. So Sherilyn brought him back, and they gave a Her and her mother gave him a group hug, even the mother that couldn't really see Bumpo except through her magic mother eyes, you know, that they gave him a group hug, and Sherilyn was so glad to have him back. You found him. You went 1,000 miles and found him. Well, I said I would go 1,000 miles. It wasn't quite that far, but, you know, I would have gone around the world if we had to. And as she was driving out, Sherilyn reached up and hugged her and says, Mommy, I love you. I love you, Mommy. You found Bumpo. Mommy, I love you, she said again. And that was the very first day since the adoption that she had said Mommy to her new mother, called her Mommy. Roberta still refers to that as Mother's Day. And Mommy, Roberta, made a discovery. She found out that she couldn't drive and cry at the same time. Well, luckily there was a playground near there and said, how about let's pull in here and play for a little while? So they did. And Sherilyn jumped off swings and on swings and slid up slides and down and in and out of the wading pool and wet and ran over to the sandbox yelling, I've been adopted, I've been adopted, I've been adopted. And there was a man in there, and Sherilyn jumped right into his lap, plunked, and said, I've been adopted. And he said, you know, that's a wonderful thing. All three of these youngins here are mine, and they've been adopted too. So they played a long time, him and Roberta and the three adopted kids and Sherilyn. And I guess, you know, legally adoptions are finalized in a courtroom with the judge, but this one was finalized in front of a gas station potty that day when Sherilyn first said Mommy. And, you know, a few years later, Roberta adopted another little girl, too. She came from Rwanda, a country in Africa, and it was about after a terrible time there when things were very, very disrupted. And they called it a genocide when people were at war. And this little girl, they didn't know what to name her. They found her in the capital. It's called Kigali. And so that's what they named her, Kigali. And somehow they got her back to the U.S., and Roberta ended up adopting her. And she didn't talk like Sherilyn did. She didn't really say any words in her language at all. Just sometimes she would scream at night, and other times she'd cry real hard, but never said anything. And one of the neighbors came over, a little boy named David that was about her age, about 4. And he just stopped and walked around her very, very slowly and sat down in front of her and started feeding her and talking to her and stuff. And Roberta said, boy, you really like her, don't you? Oh, yes, I've known her for 1,000 years. She was a queen once, long, long ago. She was a queen. She really still is. And every day he would come over and talk with her. He was the first one that got her to laugh. And he would feed her her favorite stuff and be with her and make faces and do all sorts of things with her. And when his own mother was over at the house and heard him talk about her being a queen, she asked, well, how did you know that? He said, I don't know. And he just sort of walked away and never mentioned it again. You always wonder where kids get the things they say. How could he know her for 1,000 years, and how did he know she was a queen? Well, one of those mysteries. But if you've been adopted, that's something very special. I've learned how it feels, because back in October of 2005, I was adopted by a lady named Dawn that comes to see me regularly from Melbourne in Australia, in Southeast Australia. And to be chosen all the way from across the sea and her flying in and telling me that I've changed her life and I know she's changed mine, I'm so glad I'm adopted too. Next time there'll be another story. Take care of yourself, take care of each other, and stay strong. Oh, and find some time to play. Bye now. At the